Hi, you are listening to a special New Living Expo edition of Life Insights Live with Scott Bartlett, originating from KEST San Francisco and simulcast on KESTradio.com. We have a tremendous guest. This is somebody I have admired forever, and in fact, she's probably the only person that I know of that I have more frequently quoted her book title as being a profound piece of information, even beyond what's contained in the book. She'll be one of the speakers and doing a special workshop at the New Living Expo. So I would like to introduce you to somebody that I know you've known. If you've paid any attention at all, you've known this individual for years. It's a privilege for me to get to talk to the author of What You Think of Me Is None of My Business, which I think is one of the most profound book titles ever, along with her other book of How to Have More in a Have-Not World. She's brought out her latest book of Live Your Bliss. The author of that is none other than Terry Cole Whitaker. Terry, it's an absolute privilege. Everybody, this is Terry. Terry, this is everybody.
Hi, everybody, and Scout. Thank you so much.
What a treat to have you here, and what a treat it's going to be that you're going to be in town. So I do a lot of work with this, but I noticed that you're describing the fact or the notion or the concept that we're part of a rectification of the world according to an ideal, and that we have an option of following that ideal or falling into fear and chaos. So, Terry, let me just let you expand a little bit. What do you say when you're saying a rectification of the world?
Well, how I mean by that is that obviously there's a mess in the world in all different levels, right? But actually, it's not natural that in that sense that there's a natural balance that wants to be here, and it's been happening, really going off balance, maybe for thousands of years. And in my research of finding out what's going on in a sense and what's our best option, has been that I like to go back to the balance point where everything is in harmony, nature is in harmony, human beings are living in harmony, and realizing that somewhere we got off the track, like in an infestation of some kind, a virus of some kind that attacked the mind, and that the mind is the greatest terrorist weapon ever invented, because that can just completely make us bonkers and do all kinds of things that are not really human. And so that's really to help people come back to the real higher truth about who they are and who they are as human beings and as eternal beings, and also how to really have a beautiful life forever and now, and to help this process that we're going through that looks very disturbing as we look at all the earthquakes and all of this and everything happening and the riots and medical problems and all this, that how do we travel through this like a boat on a lake, in a sense, with debris everywhere, and reach the other shore, because we are eternal, and human beings do not die. Living entities don't die. We are forever, and we are creating our future in this moment. So that's my work, Scout, is to find out who we really are, what our natural powers and abilities are, and to realize that we have an eternal future that we're creating now. And my offering those steps that I have found in my research that work for me and have worked for ancient civilizations of very high knowledge.
You know, there's a place here where I've seen you quoted, Terry, as saying that your message is about one living one's own bliss and one's own divine magic, which is most important for all of us, because you go on to say that bliss is our nature and divine magic is the art and science of allowing creativity, intuition, and manifestation to express through us. I've seen some stuff out there that to me looks sort of like, I'll say, airy-fairy, and even in my world, airy-fairy, of live your bliss, where people interpret that as, oh, okay, that means I only do the things I like to do. I don't do any of the things that are hard to do, this being April. I only do the things I like to do, and I'll just sort of float and drift through the world. And I don't get a float and drift through the world sense from you about this at all.
No, it has nothing to do, in a sense, with what we do. You know, because Joseph Campbell and his work was Follow Your Bliss, and that was more about doing the work that you love. But that comes naturally when you understand who you are. And I lived in India for 4 years, and I'm a student of the Puranas, which are, in a sense, almost like the fifth Veda.
Yes.
The four Vedas are pretty much about mantras and how to get what you want in this world and such. And the Puranas are, I consider, the cream of Vedic knowledge, because it really goes in depth of who we are and our nature. And one of them statements is called Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, and that's describing the nature of a soul, and it's eternity, consciousness, and bliss, and that bliss is the nature of a soul, and it's so we are spirit souls, and when we look at our real nature, our nature is, you could call it, happiness or bliss, and that doesn't really have anything to do with what you're doing. But what happens is everybody wants to be happy. And so a lot of people, they'll go, you know, I remember years ago I was a heavy drinker. And I realized at that time I just wanted to be happy, because I was so stressful, because I didn't have the knowledge that, what would you say, to transcend the stress and the anxiety. So I would fall prey to that. And I had this huge ministry, and I had television ministry, and had all that. And it was stress all the time, trying to manage, you know, 50 employees and all this kind of thing. So it was like when I finally got that knowledge of who we are, it's like you're the party going somewhere to happen. And that means bliss is already who we are. But when we're trying to become happy by what we're doing or who we're with or what we have, it's basically an invalidation, a negation of your true divine self.
Yes.
And so when that's what my book Live Your Bliss is about living your bliss. I could have even named it Be the Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we are the bliss, we're in a transcendental state where it's like if you take the pendulum on a clock, you know, the big grandfather clock that has the pendulum goes to one side and another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what means is that we're at the top of that. So we're just like a little bit above it at the fulcrum, where if we know who we are and such, we're not caught up in the swing that happens in material life. Because there are these, I talk about Live Your Bliss, and I'll talk about it at the Expo also, is that there's the Hermetic axioms, and they're very interesting. There's seven of them, which actually describes how this material world operates. And we're not part of this. We are divine beings. So we're not these physical bodies, but we have soul bodies, spiritual bodies, and we have these vehicles we call our human bodies, which are magnificent if we know how to use them. And our mind. So that we're not really taught that, except in the very ancient teachings that most people don't pay any attention to because they think they're old.
Right.
But these sadhus and yogis and all of these people, they had tremendous knowledge of everything, how to succeed in this world materially if you desire that, how to be healthy, how to, you know, but basically everybody wants to be happy. So their desire to find happiness makes them, and run after it, makes them even more miserable all the time because they're invalidating who and what they already are. So this is the secret, really, is once you know who you are, then you're not caught up in the changes that are happening, and you also are able to then consciously create, because our nature is creativity also, what it is that is for beauty and harmony and prosperity and all those things that are really natural to us.
Well, I know in my own process, watching it unfold, it's been very, very clear that if I'm expecting to find the thing outside mm-hmm. of me that will yep. give me my joy and happiness, I'm going to be testing and challenging that thing no matter how many times I find it. I find that it's way less about what I'm doing than it is about who it is that's doing it.
Absolutely.
Or because how much of me I bring to it.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Because once we be, I like I'm self-satisfied, and that has didn't come overnight. And it could. It's interesting. You probably realize this too. It's like all the years we spent on self-analysis, self-discovery, you know, here and there, and all of our studies. Yeah, we went through all that, but then the moment when we actually really get the knowledge. It's really simple, but the mm-hmm. difficult part has been, first of all, to accept it and to let go of all of our trauma and all of our misery and all of our struggle and all of our problems that we think we are when we're not. We're divine beings. So that attachment to all of this, our stories or what may ever be, my mother didn't love me, my father didn't love me, if I find the next person, like you say, that I'm going to be, or this next job or the next deal, I'm going to be fine, it's all going to get, and it doesn't.
Right.
But when we become self-satisfied, and that doesn't mean my little self, but recognizing that we all have the same self, the super self, but we're individual expressions, individuals of selves. So I don't look in the mirror and say, I love me, I love me, I love me. It's like, I don't need to do that because you can't be the subject and the object at the same time. There has to be an object of your affection and your love. And when we recognize that you have the same super soul that I do, but you are Scout, you are an individual expression, you are a unique person, character, then I can appreciate you. And you do what you do, but I stay in that sense of self-satisfied. And as we do that, even in our mantras, our chanting, our meditation, our being that, we just, it's like, it's so complete. It's wonderful when you dive into the reservoir of the love that is within us. That is us. And then we express that. So we're not looking for love in all the wrong places. We are being the love. And even if you lost the love of your life, so to speak, you never stopped the love because it was coming from you.
Right. I saw the greatest phrasing the other day. I just fell in love with it. It was backed up on a beautiful, beautiful sky shot. And what it said was, you don't have a soul. You are a soul.
Are a soul.
You have a body.
Because
you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body.
Yes. And you have a mind. Mm-hmm. And the mind and the intelligence and the false ego. You have to have an ego, which is your identity. But the false ego, when people have an identity crisis and they really don't know who they are as a divine being and the qualities, they make it up.
Yeah.
So then they have to defend that false self. You know, I'm a mother, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor, I'm a gardener, I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm good, I'm bad. We make all this up, and then we have to defend it. I'm a Catholic, I'm a Christian, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Muslim, I'm white, I'm black. These are all skin diseases, you might say.
Oh, I'm going to steal that one.
I know. There's a story that comes from the Vedas, and it was this man was deformed in his body. He was all scrunched over here and there and all crooked and everything, but he was a saint. He was like a mystic yogi, just conscious, beautiful being. And he had heard that there was a gathering of yogis and saints in this village in India, and he decided, you know, he wanted to go be with them. And as he went in and he was hanging out, they all were snickering and laughing at him, like, and pretty soon, and he was smiling, and pretty soon he said, oh, I'm so surprised I thought that I was coming to a gathering of saints, but I realize you're a bunch of shoe salesmen. You're a bunch of, shoemakers. And they said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, I thought you were enlightened, but I realize that you people are all dealing in skins.
You know, that's a perfect place for me to break away for just a second, Terry. I want to give everybody, Terry Cole Whitaker is our special guest today, and Terry's going to be here in town at the New Living Expo. So we'll just break away right here to give you a quick 30 seconds of the information about the expo. Grab your pen or pencil and be ready to write this down.
The annual New Living Expo returns to the Concourse in San Francisco April 27th through the 29th. Celebrating 11 years of exploring better choices and new directions, the Expo returns with hundreds of exhibitors, respected speakers, and premier special events featuring Greg Braden, John Gray, and John Perkins. Enjoy a lively, interactive, and stimulating environment where new ideas blossom, relationships take root, and all are bathed in the sweet realm of infinite possibility. Hear the wisdom of teachers like Don Jose Ruiz, Terry Cole Whitaker, Lisa Nichols, and Carolyn Casey. Eat, play, listen. Visit the New Living Expo at the Concourse Exhibition Center in San Francisco. Details and the program guide are online at newlivingexpo.com or call 415-382-8300. Sponsors include KEST Radio, KPIX 5, SF Weekly, KFOG, and KPFA.
And welcome back. You are listening to a special edition of Life Insights Live with Scout Bartlett. And I'm so glad to be here today. Our special guest today, and just dear to me, is Terry Cole Whitaker. I probably more than anybody, I've quoted Terry's book title to people in sessions probably more than any other book I've ever referenced. The book itself is phenomenal, but the title is simply, What You Think of Me is None of My Business. Her newest book is Live Your Bliss. And Terry, you're going to be here, and I see that among the programs you're doing now, you'll be doing one here that's Three Steps of Divine Magic. We've been talking so far about the fact that it's sort of the punchline of the before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water, after enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
And that
gets way funnier when you realize that it's truly a deep, deep statement of what would now be said. It's not so much what you're doing as it is how much of you that you bring there to do it while you do it. So Three Steps of Divine Magic, when I look at it, I definitely want to join this one. But when I look at it, it looks to me like you're going to be giving people three conscious steps to retrain their mind so that they can begin a practice of being who they are while they're doing whatever they're doing.
Yes, it's good. And allowing what wants to manifest to come through you. And then you become more of a witness in awe of how beautiful everything is working out for you. And that's the thing where I know before I was tuned into this, it was more about trying to make things happen, more about trying to maneuver things, more about manipulating, controlling, fear, anxiety, wishing, hoping, praying constantly that I get, you know, whatever it is that I want. He loves me, or I get that car, or I get the house, or I get the job.
And this from somebody that was out there in the world. I mean, you had a huge television ministry. You had a huge following. You had a best-selling book when, well, quite frankly, you were still just a baby girl. So it wasn't like you were trying to figure out how to make it through life because you didn't like what life was providing you. Clearly, you got to the place where you took a look at, okay, I've got this much going on, and this still ain't it.
Yes, but I'm a researcher. I think like you, Scout, because I'm a rootist. I always want to go to the root cause of something. I want to find out where that river goes and where it, you know, where it originates, and then where that water comes from before that, and then it goes there and on, because that's my nature. And then I do it for myself.
I've noticed
and then
that
I
for
also
us,
do it to share. Yeah,
I've noticed that for us seekers, the Bible talks to us in one phrase. It says, "Seek and ye shall find." And I've looked everywhere, and I can't find the place where it says, "Find and ye shall be done."
That's funny. Well, once you find it, it's now for me. I'm not seeking. I found it, but now I'm having to apply apply it.
Yes.
And evolve that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. It just turns out to be a whole new set of more interesting questions.
Oh, absolutely. And then that divine magic was, it's so spectacular because it's beyond, you don't have to worry. See, the worry doesn't help anybody. And the fear basically shuts off your immune system, and it shuts off the flow, which I talk about in Live Your Bliss, that there's a divine flow mm-hmm. of consciousness, of ideas, of creativity, of whatever it is that you need and desire. And when we fall into fear, worry, doubt, it's like we turn off the faucet, and then we wonder why it's not working.
Yeah. Yeah, when I stop to look to see if I'm growing, I notice that I've stopped.
Yeah, it's like planting the seed and pulling up the carrot to wonder if it's growing.
Yeah.
When it can't.
So,
yes.
On the Friday night, you're going to do the 3 steps of divine magic. And then on Sunday,
correct.
You're doing the 21-day plan for everlasting happiness and prosperity. And if
absolutely.
There's one thing I know mm-hmm. from your teaching throughout the years, Terry, is that you don't offer mamby-pamby words. You don't just say, yeah, it would be happiness and prosperity. When you say it, you really mean that that's what it's going to do.
Absolutely.
Tell me about a 21-day plan for everlasting happiness and prosperity.
Yes. And it's true, because people say, oh, well, that's not possible. But they think that misery is possible. And you try and tell them you don't have to suffer, but they want their suffering, some people. And
yeah.
When we realize get the knowledge of who we are as divine beings, that we're interdimensional, transdimensional, we're intuitive, we have the power of intention, we're creative, we're telepathic, we're empathic. We are eternal, and we are eternity itself. We don't live in time. Time is part of, I call the universe, the cause and effect time dream machine. But our existence is outside that realm. And by knowing that, and then receive, first of all, this 21 days, which is so cool, I'm going to give everybody the plan. Well, whether they work it or not is up to them.
Yeah.
But we're creatures of habit. Until we understand how being a creature of habit, when we live in the mind, see the mind being the greatest programming device also, because it's a programmer. And it's like people when they buy their television set, they buy a big screen, have a comfortable chair, and they pay for their programming. And those programs on television are called programs. The movies and all this, how susceptible we are to indoctrination and programming. And so our problems basically are habits. And when we learn how that we're beyond that, we can set new habits in motion, and we can use the very same principles that have maybe imprisoned us in a particular situation to be the very thing that will allow us to have a whole new situation that's very supportive of us. So, yeah, it's very practical, and it's also very mystical.
That's absolutely perfect. So one phrase really caught my eye, Terry, and since I get to talk to you all by myself for a moment, I really wanted to hear what you're saying about, and the phrase was an unprecedented infusion of divine energy. Humanity now has the ability to determine its own destiny as never before.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, and it's the truth. I've been teaching it. I just don't have as nice a words as you do.
Well, I kind of like a wordsmith. I like words, because actually English is a programming language, just like they call it spelling.
Well said.
Cast spells. You got to be very careful what you say and really know what you're talking about. Sanskrit's the language of the spiritual world. Hebrew's the language of material magic, not divine magic, but material magic. And so then English was concocted by John Dee's The Way We Speak Now and Francis Bacon as a programming language. So this infusion, yes, science tells us that something is happening now that happens every 62 million years.
Oh, I was much younger then.
Oh, yeah. But you were here. You existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember where you were? Your past lives? Well, you might. 62, it's all in the time track because yes. We carry the same subtle mind, intelligence, and false ego with us forever as long as we're in these the material realm. Mm-hmm. So this infusion, this unprecedented event, except every once in 62 million years, is a quantum leap in consciousness of divine beings, human beings, and life. And we're part of that. We're part of the rectification.
Yes.
It's not like it's just going to happen to us. It also has to happen through us. And that's why there's so much fear being broadcast and so much terror and so much of this is to keep people in the fear zone and ignorant of who they really, really are. And so that's my work, to help people, you know, catch the wave and be in the front of the wave and have a great ride, because it really is. But you want to be alert and conscious, and you want to refocus everything towards the divine being that you are, and using your powers and capabilities that are intrinsic to you in the most positive, productive, loving, and magnificent way.
Oh, Terry, this has been absolutely inspirational. I wish we had 3 more hours to talk, quite frankly. I will be at your workshop at the New Living Expo. Everybody, make sure you check it out. Terry is there on Friday for an evening workshop and then has her extended workshop on Sunday. We'll give you all the information about the expo, but this is Scout Bartlett reminding you to treat yourself as a loved one. You truly are.
Mm-hmm.
And that today is a perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose. This is Life Insights Live, special New Living Expo edition. Wishing you a great day on purpose.